Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. And I've got Venerable Tom Dorian here.
Hello.
And you know what? We're so sad.
We are?
Well, yeah, because apparently Sam Ziggy Rodriguez, he took this little trip to the moon. It was like he bought this, you
know. Looking for some cheese?
Yeah, looking for some cheese, and there was a delay. Or they had a flat tire. They had a flat tire on the moon. He actually did. He had a flat tire, and so he couldn't be with us today. So
I'm tempted to do that's me, but I can't do it that loud.
No, it's okay.
I can't do that.
Don't do that. Don't tell him I said not to. Okay. Oh, he might hear this show. Sorry about that. Anyway, we love you, Sam. Ziggy.
Hello, Sam.
Hope your tire is well soon.
Yes.
So, and we'll see you next time. In the meantime, we are going to continue down this path, this summer of holy matrimony. And by the way, we've gotten lots of good feedback. There's a lot of folks that really like talking about all this stuff. So we're going to keep going, at least through the summer, talking about holy matrimony. I don't know how many shows this is going to be. Probably 3,000, 4,000.
What are we up to now? Is it like three or four?
On holy matrimony?
Yeah.
I can tell you. You know what? There's at least like five now. I
think okay, this is five. This wow, might be
the
track.
This might be the sixth show on holy matrimony.
This could be long.
It's going to be long because we're going to get into authentic communication, and we're going to get into marital intimacy. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into relationship things, communication.
We're going to get into
parents,
conflict resolution.
Conflict resolution that's coming, and parenting.
Okay.
And then some other stuff. So it's going to be exciting,
You
know. And again, this is an opportunity for folks to look at their own marriage.
It is.
And say, like, hey, let's just see how we're doing. And I just think there's some blessings there for all of us, always to look into our own experience and invite God into our marriage in a more profound way. We all have that opportunity. Right now, we're kind of talking about these four marks of marriage that are basically the same thing as the attributes of God's love, how God revealed His love to us as being free. Mm-hmm. Right now, of course, Sam was quick to point out that marriage isn't free. Maybe it was me pointing it out. It's expensive. You've seen the price of wedding cakes.
Very expensive. Oh,
yeah, but that we must love freely. And we must love totally. Mm-hmm. And then what we're talking about today is loving faithfully.
Okay.
Right? That God's love is faithful. And then, of course, God's love is fruitful. And so our marital love needs to be open to bear fruit, right? Mm-hmm. So it needs to be fruitful.
Children.
Yes, children and joy and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about the fact that love is faithful. True love. Genuine love, love that comes from God, flows through us into the world, and then our love reflects that, it's then going to be faithful. And so what do we mean by the fact that God's love is faithful and that marital love must then also be faithful? So at the very core, we should be like, you know what? It's beautiful and wonderful to know that God will always love us.
It is.
Right? So at the end of the day, you know, no one wants to wonder if the love's going to last. Mm-mm. Right? How many times have you talked to somebody, and again, I don't want to pick on people who've been through a tragic divorce or a bad situation, or even a relationship that you thought was just going strong, and it was gangbusters, it was awesome, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, so where's so-and-so? Eh, we broke up. Mm-hmm. It didn't take. It wasn't good. It wasn't. And it's like, wow, what happened? Well, and then you hear this phrase, we fell out of love. Now, I will say, from my perspective, and maybe based on the things we're talking about, like with impediments and things that I would say, well, maybe it really wasn't love in the strictest sense of that word. Mm-hmm. But needless to say, God's love is eternal. And God has always demonstrated to us that He will always love us. Remember, we've talked a couple times about the fact that God's love is covenantal, right? And God never breaks a covenant.
Right.
And so when we compare our marriages, when our marriages are based on the love that God revealed to us, then that makes it a covenantal love.
We'll never break it.
And we'll never break it, right? That's the whole idea. And that's why the Catholic Church is like, hey, guys, divorce is bad. Mm-hmm. Let's not have the divorce thing because we don't want to be in that situation. Now, we'll talk about divorce in a minute, but I do want to just go a little bit deeper into this this idea that God is faithful. And there's a great quote that comes to us in St. Paul's letter to Timothy, the second letter, where he does, he says this, it's an interesting quote, "But if we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." And it sounds like sort of like a, you know, a tongue twister or something, you know, Sally sells seashore or something, whatever she does with all the S's that I right. can't do.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds a little bit like that, but let's just kind of parse that scripture verse out. So if we deny God, so if we deny the Father, Tom, let's just use you for an example.
Sure.
If you deny the Father, St. Paul says the Father will deny you. What does that mean? Tom says, you know what, God, I don't want to follow you anymore. And essentially, the Father will say, all right, but that's your choice. Right. I'll respect your choice.
Right.
So I'll deny you because you're asking me to.
Yeah.
You're walking away. I will deny you. In other words,
totally fair.
You're no longer in my grasp.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right? But then Paul goes on to say, if Tom is unfaithful, I'm not picking on you, Tom, I promise you.
Oh, I'm fine.
If Tom is unfaithful...
Do I look hurt?
No, you don't. You really don't. Good. You're about to throw a donut at me, though. But if Tom is unfaithful, God will remain faithful because he cannot deny himself. In other words, God is faithfulness by right. definition.
Right.
And at his very core, God is not going to be unfaithful. So in other words, even if we deny him, mm-hmm. even if we say we don't want you, God, he respects that. He sits by waiting, like the yeah. father of the prodigal son.
Man, you just took the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly where my mind was.
Great minds think alike.
I'm telling you, that's exactly where my mind was. I can see the father going, okay, you want to go and you want the inheritance? Here you go.
Yeah, take it.
I love you.
Yeah.
I want you back.
But
I'm not going to chase you down.
Right. Although, what was nice was that as he caught sight of him, in other words,
ran to him.
Yeah, ran out to meet him.
Right.
Right? And so there's something beautiful.
Image.
But first that son had to turn.
He did.
Right? So even if we're... If we're unfaithful, God is just there always, I'm waiting on you to repent and return.
Right.
Just turn and I'll come and meet you.
Yep.
But that turning is the repenting part. The metanoia, the change that we require.
So carry all this over to the marriage.
So that's the thing. At the end of the day, if our love is based on that, right? If our love is based on God's faithful love, mm-hmm. then we always have to be faithful, no matter what happens in our marriage, no matter what happens, what we do to each other, what we yell at each other, whatever. But the reality is, if God is always going to be faithful, and our marriage is a reflection of that love, then we always have to remain faithful.
Hard to do sometimes.
It can be difficult, but at the end of the day, we make that promise. And here's the thing. If you look at the what's called the reception of the consent, mm-hmm. right? So the vows are actually called the consent in Catholic terminology. Mm-hmm. So in the marriage ceremony, mm-hmm. the reception of the consent, at the end of it, there's a little prayer that says, "May the Lord in his kindness strengthen the consent you have declared before the church and graciously bring to fulfillment his blessing within you. What God joins together, let no one put asunder." Mm-hmm. So in other words, this is a covenant. And the old terminology is let no man separate. No human being can step in here and tear this covenant apart.
Right.
The only thing that can happen is you can walk away from it. You can walk away from the covenant as an individual human being, but that's not what God has intended, because God will never walk away. Mm-hmm. So we should never walk away. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a tall order, but it's what makes love love.
Right.
Right? You can't have, like, well, I freely love this person, I totally love this person, and you know what? We want to have kids and we're going to have a fruitful relationship, but you know what? I ain't going to be faithful. You know me. I just, you know, and it's like, whoa.
It's not funny. By
the way, by the way, Bess, that's not me talking. That is not me. I promise you. I love you, Bess.
Right, exactly. It's your turn to say, Cindy. Hello.
No. So, but the point is, you can't have. It's like, hey, 3 out of 4 ain't bad. No. 3 out of 4 is devastating.
Right.
It is the end of your marriage.
Yeah.
It is not a marriage. Mm-hmm. Right. It is not a sacramental marriage if we're picking and choosing like a cafeteria these 4 marks. Mm-hmm. Faithful especially, right? So here's the thing. We do break covenants. And so I want to spend a few minutes here, and I want to talk about the thing that we no one likes talking about. I mainly just not to scare people, but really to sort of sober people and say, look, divorce is real. There is a real thing called divorce out there. And I'm sure that as I'm talking to you and the people that are listening to me, even in my own family, not my wife, but in my own family, there are people close to us, my parents, who have been divorced.
Same here.
Right? Divorce is very real. Mm-hmm. And we all have opinions about why this one happened and why that one happened and why that one should happen or whatever. We all have these, we all have opinions about this, but it's a reality, right? So I want to spend a few minutes talking about divorce, and because it needs to be talked about. First of all, this idea of divorce is not something that anybody wants. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can say that I think everyone, even people who are not religious, can say divorce is bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one goes into a marriage going like, hey, you know what? We'll just get a divorce if we don't like it.
Right.
I mean, if you don't really even believe in anything religious or faith or of any kind, and you're 100% secular, you're an atheist, whatever, you still don't want to get a divorce. Why? Because it's messy.
Right.
Divorces are always messy. We're human beings, especially in our brokenness and our emotional state sometimes, we tend to hurt each other. And I you know, people claim like, oh, you know, we're the best of friends, even though we're divorced. It's like, yeah, there's something broken there, mm-hmm. right? And there's always going to be, maybe you've agreed to disagree or agreed not to bring up certain things. But the reality is it's a strained relationship. Mm-hmm. And if you have kids, it's messy. Finances become messy, mm-hmm. right? Payments become realities and things like that. And then there's always this looking over your shoulder to see if so-and-so's doing this or that or paying attention to, you know, former wives or husbands on Facebook and all these things. It's like, it's messy and no one wants it. And divorce is not a good and healthy thing. Mm-mm. It's not good for society. And right. yet, there's a lot of it.
There is.
And I kind of want to spend a little bit of time looking at some divorce statistics. A lot of people, like, if you ask them, like, hey, what's the percentage of divorce? I think for a while people have always thought, it's about 50%, you know, 50-50. It's actually gotten a little better over the years. My most recent statistics will say that divorce in the general population is 41%.
Okay.
Right? This is like a study called Wilkinson and Finkbeiner in 2020. So that's pretty recent.
Love the name.
Yeah, Finkbeiner.
You gotta love it.
What a wonderful human being.
Gotta
I'm sure.
have some credibility there.
There you go. So after the first marriage, divorce is 41%. But have you ever heard that logic where people think that, like, well, you know what, I messed up the first one, but the second one, I've learned a lot, so it's going to be better, right?
Grass is greener.
It's not, mm-hmm. right? I mean, well, the grass turns out not to be greener. Mm-hmm. In fact, after the second marriage, that same study says the divorce rate jumps to 60%.
Really?
So it goes from 41%. Yeah. After the second marriage, it's 60%.
Finkbeiner.
Yeah, Finkbeiner. They're reality brokers over there, right?
You.
Wilkinson and Finkbeiner. Now, so then you think, like, okay, certainly after two, anything after that has got to be like rock solid and it's locked in, right? No, it goes to 73%. It is. It just gets worse.
Yeah.
And you think I'm dating myself here, but I remember back in the days that the actress Elizabeth Taylor, she had like 8 marriages.
Yeah.
You know, and it was famous for all these exes. Yeah. And in fact, I think she had like 2 of the husbands were exes more than once.
Yeah.
So she got remarried to some. But anyway,
I remember Johnny Carson making a big deal out of that.
Yeah. So
quite a bit.
Yeah. So you know. So, and then there's another statistic that's interesting.
I noticed how the statistics stopped after that, by the way.
Oh, no, there's more statistics.
Oh, there are. Okay.
I got more.
You
got
don't get
more.
Into the fourth marriage.
Huh? Well, you're saying that. Yeah, I don't know. I can only imagine it's worse.
Yes.
At that point, you know, 80s, marriage, 90s. Why are you even getting married?
Right.
You know, why are you getting married? And so then, like, the average length of a marriage in the U.S., you know, there's beautiful songs people sing at weddings, you know. What's forever for? You know, there's all these beautiful things about forever. I'll love you forever and forever and ever, forever and ever, forever and ever. Amen.
There you go.
So,
Randy Travis.
Yeah, I know. So there's all that. And the average marriage in the U.S. is not forever. It's 8.2 years.
That is shocking.
Yeah, but it's true. So, you know, and that's Vuletta in 2021, that study.
And they're throwing guys like me and you in there, too, for those averages.
We're included in that number.
Because we're killing that average.
Hey, we have. I've busted right through
Thank
that.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly
I
right.
I remember 8.2 years.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, it's we're doing pretty good, Tom, but don't stop.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't stop, right? We have to keep going. So, like, if you think about that divorce data and the length of a marriage, et cetera, the average length, there's a little interesting statistic that, like, 1,300 divorces happen in the time of it that it takes to, like, go to the average wedding reception. So when you're at a wedding reception...
Say that again. 1,300 divorces
So let's happen. Say you go to your friend's wedding. A family friend. They got their son and daughter, or whatever, their kids. Kids got married. Two family friends of yours, their kids get married. You go to the wedding.
Just went to one a couple weeks ago.
Going to celebration. You bought the gift and everything.
Yep.
While you're sitting at the reception, 1,300 people get divorced in the U.S. That's a lot. It just puts a big, huge number out there.
Yeah.
So the time it takes you to sit through a regular length movie, people, you eat your box of popcorn and your, you know, whatever you have, Skittles, I don't know what you eat.
2,600 people are no longer married.
Exactly. And it's like, that's not good.
No.
That's not good. You know, and there's also been, like, over the, like this data shows us that that since the 1970s, there's actually been a 60% reduction in marriages. So since the 70s, 60% fewer people are actually getting married. Right? That's terrible. Mm-hmm. And there's also, coincidentally, this is Gurenz. It's a study called Gurenz and another study called Wang. So I don't know where these studies come from, but I copied all this data down. But 75 times increase in cohabitation. So people aren't getting married. That's what's happening. That's what's happening, you know. So like in the 1970s, couples that were 18 through 34 years old, 0.2% were cohabiting back in the 1970s. It wasn't very common. Now in the 2020s, right, couples who are 18 to 34, 15% of them are cohabiting. So this number is just going up and up and up, right? So it's just the cohabiting couple divorce rate is something we should look at, too, because people will say things like, well, you know.
The ThinkFinder doesn't have that stat in here, does he?
No. Well, no, we have Rosenfeld and Rosier in 2019. They have a stat that helps us there.
That shows what the end results are of cohabitation.
So if you live together for 5 years and then you get married, you got a 54% divorce rate.
Okay.
Which is higher than the 41%.
Okay.
So I guess it just blows a hole in the logic that, well, if we live together, it's like a trial marriage. We're like practicing.
Yeah,
and so we're going to be really, really good at it. Now, the one thing I do want to talk about, we got Pew Research and we got the Family of the Americas Foundation polls here, research that will tell us some of this data. But so if you say, like, okay, but you've given us general population in the U.S., like what's the divorce rate if it's a Catholic couple? Okay, if they're Catholics, then instantly you're going to say, like, oh, it's going to be a lot lower, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for Catholics, it's 38%. That's like you shave
right
off.
There.
Yeah, you shave off 3%.
Yeah,
right. And then, but wait. What if we drill down a little bit in these Catholics? What if these are Catholics who go to Mass every single Sunday? They don't miss Sunday, right? Okay. You think, well, that's definitely going to be better. Well, that's 28%. We're getting down to 1 in 4.
That's so it started. You could argue that,
right? Now, what
I'd
if you
say that's significantly better?
What
actually.
If you factor in Catholics who are practicing natural family planning?
This would be interesting.
Well, it's. It varies. The research tells us it's less than 5%.
Wow, that's dramatic.
So and that's like I, that we should is not it's correlation more than causation, but what it does teach us, I think, it's that if you're the closer you're living the teachings of the church, the less likely you are to get divorced. Mm-hmm. And what that tells you, if you're preparing for marriage, if you're already going to Mass, that's good, right? If you believe what the church teaches, that's really good. If you find a potential mate, right, a potential spouse who believes those things and practices those things, you have a really good chance of not ever getting a divorce. Mm-hmm. So I know some of these are kind of, we'll just say, scary things. For a lot of folks, and it's the point of this is not to scare people. It's really to sober us into saying that divorce is real, brokenness is real, not all marriages last, but the marriages that are most in line with what the Catholic Church teaches about this sacrament and about how to live your life, and when you invest in that wholeheartedly, when you believe it, when you walk that path, you're not going to get divorced. Your marriage is going to be a covenantal relationship that doesn't break up. It's going to be like a Tom and Cindy marriage. It's going to be a Deacon Jeff and Bess marriage. We hope and pray, right? And so those are good things. Now, I do want to mention one more thing about divorce. There is a misconception out there that a lot of people think that, well, the Catholic Church hates divorced people.
That's not right.
That once someone gets divorced, that basically they're kicked out of the church. Yeah, I've even heard people say, like, well, they get excommunicated, right?
No, they don't.
No, that's not what happens. Mm. Not at all. In fact, the church is a hospital for sinners. So when divorce happens, and the church, let's be honest, the church doesn't want divorce. The church wants you to reconcile, wants you to find out where the issues are, to go to the heart of those issues, to eradicate those issues and essentially live in love. Right?
Right,
and to fulfill the promises that you made to each other. That's what the church wants and desires. I think we all do. I think individuals who are struggling in that way want that as well, right? But when that doesn't work, then the church is still there, and like those people can still go to Holy Communion. Mm-hmm. You can get a divorce and still go to Holy Communion. Each person, you're not separated from the church. The problem is...
It's
when you take a step without going through a previous step. Like, so in other words, when there's a divorce, mm-hmm. and the couple's a divorce, and then they decide one or the other decides to remarry,
right?
Which is not forbidden until, you know, unless you don't go through a process of the canonical process to essentially investigate that marriage to see if it was a sacramental bond to begin with, mm-hmm. and to go through the process of what's called receiving an annulment. Mm-hmm. The church, after investigation, and it's a pretty long, beefy investigation, discovering that and decreeing nullity, that the sacramental bond did not take place.
Right.
So if you get a divorce and then you go through this process of annulment, and the church determines that bond was not sacramental and covenantal, then it didn't exist in that way. You might have been contracted legally together, right? Mm-hmm. But
not sacramentally.
But you are now free to marry.
Right.
You were free to marry. The church has determined this. But when you don't go through that process, you're like, I'm not going to do that. It's all a bunch of stuff, and I don't want to have to do all this. It's just going to bring up open these old wounds and stuff. You know. And then you said, like, well, I'm going to go get married in the Baptist church, or I'm going to go get married, you know, at a Justice of the Peace. Well, now there's a pretty harsh judgment that Jesus talks about, you know, concerning adultery when you're divorcing and remarrying without going through the canonical process.
You know what's interesting about this to me is really the church just wants you to make sure that she's involved in your marriage at all times.
Yes, which essentially...
Before, during, and after.
100%.
Which is smart.
Right, 100%. And that's where it's not a process of judgment.
No, it's to make sure everybody's happy.
Yes, it's the way to heaven.
Right.
Right, this is what this is all about, is getting to heaven.
That's what she's protecting you
100%. For. So, you know, it's beautiful to know that God loves you and will always love you, no matter how many times you turn your back on him. Mm-hmm. And even when you walk away from him, you're unfaithful, you turn and you walk away, he is always there waiting faithfully for you to turn, to repent, and to move towards him, and he will run out to greet you. And that's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that translates beautifully into marriage. No matter what we you know, how many arguments we have or disagreements or problems or things that we, in our humanity, in our fallen nature, how many problems we create. We always need to remember we have a covenantal bond, and that we can always, we must always be faithful to one another, and we must always be undying in our love for one another, even we have those disagreements. But that faith, if we don't enter our marriage faithfully with the firm purpose of until death do us part, mm-hmm. right? There's notice in those vows or that consent. It doesn't say until we feel like this is done.
Right.
Right. That's not the vow.
Until we fell out of love.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not, that's not the case. It's until death do you part. Mm-hmm. Until somebody passes away.
Right.
Right.
And not just a figure of speech.
100%. It's
for real.
It's for real. It's a covenant. And that's what it means to be faithful. And again, you know, God's faithful love has been the, it's been steadfast and true throughout all of human history. I mean, even from the time of the Garden of Eden, it's not like God said, all right, be gone with you two. Yeah, you don't get to stay in the garden here. You've created this problem for yourself, but you know what? He didn't break his covenant with him, with them. They broke their covenant with him, right? And so it's like, and he still loves them, mm-hmm. right? And I'd love to meet Adam, by the way, in heaven.
We will someday, hopefully.
Hopefully. I'll pray for you. You pray for
Amen,
me.
Amen, brother.
How about that? And let's pray for each other. And let's ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to watch over all these marriages, that they continue to be faithful and true. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at The Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.